All right, guys, welcome back. We're here for part two of our exploration of the hero's journey in connection to Joseph Campbell, how it relates to us as individuals, and then also, and the most important part of this, how it connects back to what we do on a daily basis here, you know? Just, you know, quickly, last episode, we kind of talked about the hero's journey. We discussed our logo and its connection to it. We explored a little bit of the concept of initiation, the call. And I feel like we spent just a little time looking at that because we've talked about it. You know, we've talked about that in our earlier episodes, like who we are, what called us and compelled us to do this. When we talk about this next part, separation, this is the area where you dip into the unknown world and you, as a heroic being, have to, you know, go through a bunch of different trials. You have to experience the world with, you know, listening to some of the mentors and guides that are along the way, and ultimately make your own decisions as you venture through this unknown world. One of the ways that it was commonly described to me as I look at the unknown world is there's two paths. There's this black path that's straight and it's clear, and then there's this red path that is unkempt and spirals around and moves around. I feel like the hero is the one who follows that red path. And I think it's emblematic of what we do at Live Free, as you and I are trying to navigate that. So we have some time today to really kind of explore some of the mentors that we've had in our lives.
Love
I think
that.
That's really important. And also to take a look at some of the traumas that we faced in our life and how we've learned to discover something that Campbell called bliss. So we get to kind of talk about the whole thing, the mentorship, the trauma, the struggle, and then working through that struggle and learning a lesson from it before we go back up into the known world, which will be the last part of this episode. So there's a lot that we can kind of talk about here.
Yeah.
So
I want to get into mentors.
Let's do it.
I know you know who one of my mentors are. I don't know who any of your mentors are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, mentors, I feel like, especially if you're dealing with something that's like a calling to do something, the mentors that you experience along the path that you're on are really important. And for me, it is circumstantial, meaning like, what am I going through right now? What do I feel called to do? What journey, what path am I going down? And who am I listening to along the way? For me, like obviously we're talking about Joseph Campbell here. So in literature and in life, like literature has always kind of been a mentor for me. It's been something that I kind of look to. I love like exploring different authors and their perspectives. So that's been something that has helped me along the way. But yeah, I guess I'd have to choose a specific instance and then kind of go.
I want
there.
One.
All right. Let's stay on the topic that we were going with you know our daughters and their fight, and you know as we went through Mia's diagnosis and we were put in a position where as adults we had to make decisions that we were not. I don't even know. Like I don't know if anyone's equipped, prepared to make. We had to kind of trust the people that were along those paths. So mentors that were along that path, like there's a couple doctors along the way and nurses along the way that really served as points of comfort for us. They were the guides that were bringing us through the things that we had to do. Even as, you know, we experienced some of the trauma and it became clear that, you know, Mia's cancer was not going to respond to treatment. And, you know, that was hard, you know, and when you have to look a doctor in the face and they know that too, you know, it's, you know, they are the guides that help you work through that. So yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
Taking a little bit of a different approach. So, you know, going back to the separation part, I knew that I wanted to start Live Free. And I knew that the sacrifices that would take and stepping away from a paying job and things like that. And I also wanted to find somebody that was doing it. So by the grace of God, I met a man named Al DeGuido who runs Al's Angels out of Fairfield, Connecticut. And he was doing what I wanted to do. And I knew that was really important, right? It was to find somebody that knew, had he didn't experience cancer in the way that we have, obviously.
Right.
But he had paused what he was doing and started an organization that was helping thousands of people. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do. So I would just go hang out at his ice cream shop and just pick his brain, whether he knew it or not. But he really helped push me and guide and kind of push my passion, right?
Right.
Because it gets scary down there when you're going into the unknown. And it was really comforting to have somebody nudging me along. I don't want to say he led me, but he definitely was behind me, pushing me uphill, right? And I think that that's super important. I wrote that a few months back on my LinkedIn. Like that, I think that's the first and the most important thing is finding a mentor.
Yes, 100%. And sometimes like that search is, it just finds you, right? And you know, you like you said, by the grace of God, you know, I met Al DiGuido. I mean, So I like that you went to yourself with this, and I already fell victim to the talking about my daughter and not me on this journey. So I guess I'll circle back to the decision to leave education and a job of stability and a life that I saw for myself all the way through my retirement into, you know, collecting on my retirement and then, you know, doing whatever came after that. It was something that I worked through and tried to figure out. You know, the initiation was my daughter's experience with cancer and my experience with cancer, and I knew that I wanted to do more. I was being called, right? You know, and the universe was providing, you know, doors where, you know, I needed to walk through. They were providing doors I needed to walk through. And in getting involved in Live Free, I'd argue that you were one of the mentors along the way that helped me through my initial steps, you know. And I think what is important about that is that, you know, in the decision that you made to start Live Free, what I found comfort in you bringing me into what we do here, is that you did what good mentors do. You just said,
"Make me cry, Jim."
You just said, you know, come. And, you know, you'll be valuable for us. And you kept using this thing saying, I know you're the guy. And sometimes that's all you need in the unknown world. You need that subtle push, like you said, to just move forward. And again, you know, I think in our early months that in working with you here, I tried to keep you close to me because I was really worried about, you know, fucking up and like and either moving too fast, too slow, not being focused enough. And I feel like what we've started to find as we've worked through this right now, I still feel like we're in, you know, we've cycled and keep running this circle a lot, but like, you know, Live Free and us together and all of us will continually face adversity at different times, whether it's from, you know, trying to find the funding to create an event, whether it's making the right decisions to, you know, involve different people in the things that we do, you know, like this path that we're on, this cycle that we go through is definitely the heroic path. And if it is, then, you know, we're definitely doing heroic work ourselves, you know. I know you don't like calling yourself that, but
yeah, that's why it made me emotional, man. I don't really view myself as that, but I appreciate that. I can see it. Talking about literature, literature is interesting. One of the first books I read was, I believe it was you that actually gave me the recommendation. It was Start Something That Matters by Blake Myoski, who is the founder of Toms. And I was like, yep, I want to do that. Not create shoes, but do something that matters. Right. And do it for a purpose and a why. Not necessarily for revenue. And then the second book that was recommended, and it's one that we share an affinity for and we talk about it often, is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. It's an amazing book, one that I know that we'll dive into, but the main character, he has a bunch of mentors along the way. It wasn't just one single mentor.
Right.
He had multiple mentors along the way. And ultimately, the alchemist was the last one that gave him his final push to get towards it. But I think it just goes to show that there are multiple mentors within that journey.
Correct.
Multiple. And all have different... And I know that you mentioned it, and they just all lead to a culmination of Like, everyone's, it's not just one person, it's like a group of people are really right. behind you pushing.
What I love about the concept that Campbell brings up about mentorship and the way that it works, I realized that once I looked at the concept of trauma. So in the first episode that we talked, or the first part of this episode we talked about initiation, I talked about Star Wars. And there's this scene in Star Wars where Luke is going through the he's being trained by Yoda. He's down in the cave, and he has this vision of Darth Vader coming to him, and he takes out his lightsaber and cuts off his head, and then the mask of Vader dissolves, and it's Luke's face that's there. And I think what's amazing about mentorship is that so much of what you get out of it is a reflection of yourself, you know, and that's what I love about The Alchemist. And whenever I get the chance to kind of talk about it, is every person that Santiago experiences or goes out to see is him. It's him in any different path that he could go down. And I think that that's what's amazing about the hero's journey. And this is what really speaks to me about like the quaking moment of going through trauma. So I talked about the concept that in the cycle, you have to slay a dragon. You know, you will go through some experience in this unknown world as you're pursuing your heroic path that will challenge you to the point where it has to be slain. Yeah. And again, I like the word slay because it's not about defeating the dragon. And he uses the word slay intentionally because, like in the example with Luke Skywalker, the dragon is ultimately you, you know, and the true way to slay that dragon is to love it a little bit. And I think that's what I love about literature. It's what I love about film. When you look at that romanticized moment where the hero is about to slay that dragon, there's always at least in good storytelling, there's an empathetic moment. It's why at the end when Vader is finally defeated, he's not defeated by Luke per se, right. You know? So,
Going down that path, I just want to dive into a little bit about Live Free and the dragon there. There was two, right? For me, I had gotten close to a young man. His name was Austin. And when I say gotten close, I'd gone up to the hospital. We'd play video games together. I'd grab insomnia cookies. Like, we'd hang out. We'd text. We'd call all the time. And he passed away, unfortunately. And that was one of the things that for me was... It was super hard, man. That was really hard. To know a kid, and he was a kid, that passed away, that I was close to was really challenging, right? And that was one that I had a decision, like, do I want to keep doing this? And thank God for Courtney, because Courtney kind of shields us from that a little bit now, right. In the structure of Live Free. But the other one was when Lauren finished treatment. We were essentially removed from that world, I guess, the pediatric cancer world. We had a choice, I guess, and the choice was, do we want to go back to the unknown or what we knew, or did we want to continue down the path? And at the time, we were, you know, Live Free, we were not making a ton of money with Live Free. We were, you know, very, very small organization. We still are small, but a very small organization. And we came to a crossroads, like, is this something that I want to keep going with, or have we done enough? And again, met another mentor, George, was like, and Scott, I think we need to push a little bit. Let's just do it for 6 months, right? And had it not been for that meeting, I don't know that Live Free is doing what it's doing right now. As a matter of fact, it would have been very easy for me to go back to the normal life.
Right. But do you think it would have been? Like, could you have returned? You couldn't have returned truly back.
It would have been very easy to do it.
Right.
But I would have lived with a misery forever. Right. And they talk about that actually in The Alchemist, when Santiago decided that he wanted to just be the chief counsel to the chief of the Oasis.
Right.
And The Alchemist is like, no, you don't, because you're going to be miserable and your magic will go away and then you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life. And I truly believe that. I would have been miserable had I not been helping as many people as I am right now.
And I definitely identify with that. And, you know, having had a different experience, you know, but completely being at the same crossroads where, you know, when we lost Mia, we, you know, going through all of that and experiencing that level of loss, trying to figure out how we were going to pull anything out of this that was going to be positive was challenging initially, but it also, it put us in a place where some of the things that I've believed so many times in my life, I had to, or so many instances in my life, I needed to actually put them into application. And one of the things that I've constantly say, and I talk to people about, is that there's joy in grief. You know, there's joy in the experience of loss. It doesn't mean that it's always joyful. There's also sorrow in loss, and there's desperation in loss. And once you start to separate out all of those different emotions that come from it, that's when you can really start to move into a productive direction. And for me, that's why, you know, the work that I do here is so important to me, is that, you know, it's emblematic of what all families need. You know, it has helped me transcend, you know, really who my daughter was, you know, and to keep her alive in some way, but it's not, there's no effort involved in it. It is just, it's happening, you know. This always gets back to a, you know, when I think of Live Free and I think of our journey and I think of the things that we've seen and done and how we've kind of started to find bliss in some of this here, I brought to a quote that I love, all right? So Campbell says, participate joyfully in the sorrows of the world. We cannot cure the world of sorrows, but we can choose to live in joy. And I just feel like it's such a powerful quote, because, you know, we have choices, right? We can live in sorrow, all right, and we can be there, but we can find ways to choose joy. And I feel like that is an important thing to keep in mind as Live Free continues to do what it does, as you continue to meet more kids like Austin, like you talked about, who we will lose, and we will face families that we lose on our wall, and we have to continue to be those beacons, you know, as we return back to that known world, because we know that when we get back up to the top of the circle again, you know, it's going to happen again.
Yeah. Well, I think with your line that you just quoted about choosing joy, I think that right there is you being a mentor to somebody in our audience. So,
well, hopefully,
it's great advice.
All right.
So, that's 17, brother.
All right.
It's a good one.
Another stop on the jar. I'll talk to you back on.